Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Everyday Heroes. We have a brand new day, which means a brand new set of shows. This morning, we're going to talk about some challenges of companies trying to grow worldwide and some ways to help you out. This should be a good one. Good morning, everybody. My name is Rob. This is Everyday Heroes. Now, this video today can be used in different ways. It could be just a general educational video for those who just want to learn something. Or if you are in a business, or maybe you will be in a business that uses overseas resources, or you're trying to grow overseas, this might be something important for you to learn. One of the biggest things these days to make it easier and I guess more challenging for businesses, is to expand as far across the world as you can. The positives of this are new markets, diversification, and of course, accessing new talents that you might not have had at home. While a lot of this is good, and with things like the pandemic, it made things a lot easier because you can do things online, many times you might have an issue of keeping up with the new rules, so to speak. Now, this is not odd at all, because as we know in business, every day a new thing changes, so you always got to be on your toes no matter what. But on top of things like different money rules, different work laws, all of that stuff, there could be some challenges. Now, this particular website, serviupgroup.com, who works in, global acquisition, basically, they wrote down five things that could be problematic, but some ways to overcome them as well. So number one, as we mentioned, new markets. Now you're probably thinking, why is that bad? You want to have more people. Well, while new markets will allow you to sell or promote more, one of the biggest challenges they say is understanding the particulars of said market, the demographics, the consumption habits, or just what people want to buy. You're also going to have to be aware of similarities between the ideas to be taken to a new area and see if it actually works, because as we know, what works for one does not work for someone else. They recommend to overcome this challenge first, conduct your research. You can use all sorts of different ideas. According to the International Trade Administration, it's necessary to review and evaluate the demand for a product and the factors needed to get it there. You can figure it out via the country itself, maybe just researching some of the information. You can look at how their trade works or just look at the industry. Now, many a times at this point, because of the internet, everything is everywhere. In food, one of the biggest things is the fact that specific brands are no longer specific. Case in point, let's say the world of Kit Kat. Now, at one point, places like Japan and China had specific flavors not seen anywhere else. Well, thanks to places like Walmart, Target, and, well, generally the internet, they're no longer specific. Now, that was an easy one to do, because generally speaking, unless, of course, you are on a restricted chocolate thing, almost everybody is a fan of a chocolate bar. So candy companies didn't have a problem expanding because, well, people like chocolatey goodness, right? But let's say you're in the business of, maybe home renovations or backyard repair, stuff like that, home repair and backyard renovations. There you go. Well, in America, you have different settings. You have places that are dry and arid, so you need backyard renovations that work with the weather. You have other places that are stormy and flooding all the time. Now, that by itself is a problem, because if you are a company in the Americas, and maybe you are expanding throughout the Americas, you got to have different sorts of doings, right? Some of your people who might be working in the South where it's rainy and floody are definitely going to have different skill sets than those working over here in California or Arizona, Nevada, because of the difference of weather. However, if you're going across the country to a different continent, different country, You got to make sure that your, first off, your home renovation and backyard work is going to make sense. And secondly, you have the right sources. Now, weirdly enough, many places around the world tend to have similar weather patterns. So for instance, dry and arid here is pretty much dry and arid anywhere else that it gets that. But in other dry and arid areas, like vast deserts, let's say Australia, the non-housed area, there's nobody living there. And those who do live, they're living off the land. They're not looking for home repair, right? So you got to think that just because you can doesn't mean you need to. Now, again, these two are very generalized. It could be any product, any service, but in order to make sure it gets to where it's got to go, and it gets to where it's got to go correctly, do your research. So pretty much easy challenge. I think most people would agree. You're going to do your research anyway. Number two, recruiting. Now, one of the things you got to do when you expand is obviously have the people to do so along with your strategy and resources, right? You got to build your international team. Now, I know my wife works at a company where there is two different areas of the world. So, of course, you have the team over there and you have the team over here. There's a few ways that they say going about this, because this is probably going to be your hardest challenge if you are brand new to the area. To face one of them, one option is to hire international independent contractors. Now, independent contractors, usually people working at a specific time for a specific period and a specific project. This is easy in one case for those who maybe don't have the budget yet to pull on somebody regular and maybe just need somebody or a few people to help you get everything off the ground. So this could work. And they say while this model is flexible, misclassifying your contractors can lead to issues with non-compliance. So make sure if you are hiring an independent contractor, you're doing it the right way. Number two, in the situation, expanding companies may open a subsidiary to handle local labor and labor laws. Having an entity, second way to help with recruitment is to open a subsidiary to handle all the local labor laws and legal responsibilities. However, you do have to have somebody who's long-term, and you have to have somebody who doesn't mind being there for a duration of time. This one may not be as easy for you to do, especially if you're a newer business or even if you're an older business, because you may not have one or two people that want to do that. So this is something that you're going to have to think about if you want to go that way. I would say do the contractor, but there's a third option, they say. They say the third option is through an employer of record. These are outside firms that source and hire local talent, hassle-free. There's no need to open any subsidiary. There's no need to worry about that. The EOR, or the employee of record, is basically responsible for handling all that, including payroll, benefits, and good stuff there. Now, that could be good as well. I don't know this one personally as well. Again, I haven't been in the overseas business. So that seems good, but with any caveat, make sure that if it works, it works, and you're actually doing it correctly. I would say the best way is maybe just figure out who you're going to need and where. If it's going to be impossible at the beginning to get anybody overseas, then maybe you do this, virtually, and you work with somebody there, which may be the EOR. So think about what you need. You are going to need people, that's for sure. But until you get a full-on staff, you got to figure out how you're going to get those people to work. Number three, legal compliance. Well, this is a challenge for anybody in the business, right? But you have to know the rules. When the business is domestic and has yet to go global, things like taxes are pretty straightforward because you already know your tax rules in your state or your country. Same thing goes with payment and all that stuff as well. However, when you move to another country across the world, you have a whole new set of rules to go through. So to comply with this, you really just want to do what we said in step one. Do your homework. This you can bring back the EOR as somebody who knows the things down there. You can have somebody down there if you can get somebody to go down there for a time period. But really, all you got to do is read the rules of how it goes. You will find what you have to do, and you'll be able to figure out what you need to do after doing so. Number four, this one may be a little difficult because at first you're not going to know the lay of the land, but cultural differences. Now, this is a few different things. Number one, what's the market like? Excuse me. Going back to my food example earlier, places like McDonald's and Burger King had to change their food for places like India, who don't eat beef. So what did they do? They switched it out for mainly chicken. Cool. It worked perfect. They also went ahead and added some other items, like kind of a potato patty thing. And it worked, and it was great. They knew, and they probably already had known beforehand, that places like that need specific rules. So that's number one. Number two, qualification. And for that matter, regulation. If you have people working there that have never been in the business before, or maybe kind of know the business, you might run into some problems. And this is kind of going back to how you recruit the people. But just know at the beginning, if this is something new to the area, you need to give them the rundown. Whether it's a phone call, a video chat, or if you're going in person, explain to them what's going on. Make sure that at least two or three people who are going to be working with you directly know what's going on. Lastly, language and cultural barriers. So we did just mention about the food dietary restrictions in one place to another, but there are so many other differences. Obviously, language is one. Now that one I feel like can be worked on personally to that country because they can work on their own language person to person. However, cultural barriers, well, you might have a product that may not be okay to be selling in another place. Make sure that your product or your service is, well, important. Now, how do you work around this? Well, as far as language goes, make sure you know the language. Make sure you study the language. I know this seems basic, but make sure you know the language. You may make a joke or a pun and not realize you're insulting somebody because it's a different word. So number one thing is make sure you know what you're actually saying. I think that's super important. Number two, learn about the cultural differences. Now again, every place is going to be different. And just like in America, things seem to change decade to decade. So I guess what we seem to be okay with back in the 70s and 80s is no longer okay. Same thing could be in other countries as well. It's most important here to make sure that you are understanding of the new country and you listen to the new country and vice versa. Make sure they ask you the questions because, well, if they don't know what they're doing, that's going to be a problem. And number five, probably the most obvious challenge and one that, I'm sure many people deal with, is the time zones. So example, in Bogota, Colombia, it could be 4 p.m., but Sydney, Australia, it's 8 a.m. the next day. Could be problematic for some, because usually 3 or 4, you're getting off work, 8, you are starting. Now, my wife deals with this as well. They have some sort of management to do, but again, this is one of those things that's kind of out of your zone because it's a time zone. It's not a, you know, you can't control that. So doing it remotely, probably the easiest for general, because you can have the open thing and you can have people sending emails and sending messages and talking to people. And if for some reason you really need to get a hold of somebody, you can have them text or message, whatever, that individual. Offshoring, you've probably heard that word before, allows companies to access cheaper labor, manufacturing services, and other innovations and research as well. But if you're hiring professionals in the same time zone, you'll do nearshoring, an outsourcing model that favors less significant time differences. In this case, the EOR, as we talked about before, might be your best because that individual or peoples will be responsible for helping the other time zone when you guys are fast asleep, because they know the time zone at home and they'll be able to take care of what needs to be done. So this was a good long video here, guys. This was a lot of good information. I think for the sake of help, I'll put this up in the chat because I think this is a pretty good article to read. And these are generic, guys. These are the things that every business overseas is going to do. So again, if you take this as a learning video, cool, great. If you are a business, however, and you are looking to expand or you already do work overseas, take a look at how you're doing stuff. See if there's a way to refresh or ease your work, their work, and just make it more symbiotic for everybody. Hope you enjoyed today's video. I had a really good time doing it. I learned a lot. Hope you did too. We got some more fun later. Until then, guys, stay curious.